Hello again. Boy, have we got a deal for you. George Hofford, Local Matters, talking about people in our region who make up the tapestry of our community and region and make a difference. And so I've got a good buddy, a longtime friend, a like-minded person, Diane Callahan, currently the director of development for Heart of the Cumberland.
Yes.
16 years with our chamber and working every day and marketing, membership, everything. And Fleet Guard, we're going to talk about all that. Fleet Guard for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So, and a Monterey girl. I'm not supposed to say girl, but I'm going to do that. But Diane, I'm also supposed to be quiet and listen to you. So welcome to the show, and we'll go with it where you want to go with it.
Okay. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to talk about starting in Monterey and where I am right now, because I'm living my best life now, George.
God has been good to you. It is good to you.
Yes.
Let's start. Billy Graham and others have said the three big questions in life is, who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? That's sort of what we're going to do today.
Okay.
Tell me who you are, but tell me where you've been and birth to present. Don't spend a lot of time, but a little bit of time in high school. But let's just talk.
Well, it reminds me, George, you asking these questions, it reminds me of back in 2005.
Yes.
When I came in and interviewed with you, and you asked me similar questions at that point.
Yeah.
And one was, as far as, was I the firstborn in my family or the second or the third?
Order.
And I was the firstborn.
Yep.
We found out that day we had a lot in common.
That's right.
But yes, I was born in Monterey, where the hilltops kiss the sky. And, you know, we come from the same generation. And
we did.
What a great town it was to grow up in, going to First Baptist Church, living next to my grandparents. My grandfather had a grocery store right across the street, and my dad was a coal miner.
Oh, yeah.
I'm proud to be a coal miner's daughter.
Coal miner's daughter.
He later became an electrician and a plumber. But anyway, my growing up was going to church, having family reunions, being close to grandparents. It's just wonderful. In fact, I like to talk about Chestnut Street in Monterey.
Okay.
1 mile are the milestones in my life, starting there. If you go into town at First Baptist Church and go down that road, I was born in my bedroom on Chestnut. I was reborn on Chestnut at First Baptist Church.
I understand.
I went to Ufferman Grammar School, just a block from the First Baptist Church. I walked to school.
Okay.
And I would go across the street to my grandfather's to get whatever I wanted, candy or whatever I wanted. And so my husband was on Chestnut Street. That's
really?
Where he lived.
Pat.
We got married on Chestnut Street at the First Baptist Church. My kids, Shay and Julie, were both baptized and became Christians in that First Baptist Church. And I have a plot on Chestnut Street in Welch Cemetery to be buried. And that's all 1 mile.
We need to put a plaque up. That's a whole, what a great story. What a great story.
And I still have my same best friend from second grade. We are still best friends.
Now, who is that?
Sue Cox is her name.
Told me that.
Yes, since second grade. And so it was high school cheerleading, being active and everything at school and school plays. And
oh, yeah. Oh, I can see
it was
that.
Just, it was wonderful.
So you led a Walton's kind of
I did.
Idyllic.
Yes.
Our generation type.
Yeah. Yes.
Everything was just close. And you got other friends, though, in Monterey. Of course, we'll get into this.
Yeah,
now,
a lot of Monterey, I feel like, produced a lot of outstanding citizens and just successful people, good people. Yeah, Jill Horner and David, they were younger than me, but we went to the same church. I remember their parents and just, and Amy. You know, Amy knew.
Yeah, Amy, yeah.
Of course, she was a whole lot younger, but that family was also there.
Yeah. You know. George Hoffer with Diane Callahan talking about growing up and living in the Monterey, our mountain town. So we're glad. We're glad you're here. Let's carry on. Carry on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess it's time to move on from there. But
A little more time. You spent a lot of time there. Anybody else that? No, I'm not. I'm not telling you what to do. I never tell Diane what to do. I promise you. But Monterey, coal mining and large and railroads, and it was a huge.
Yeah, a lot of my friends, including Jill Horner's dad, worked on the railroad.
Yes.
Yeah, my dad didn't, but a lot of my friends, their dads worked on the railroad, and that was a good job.
Oh, probably some of the best jobs in our county or region, I would guess.
Yes, that was really a good place if somebody had worked on the railroad. George, I kind of just did my journey in Monterey, and I think I'm ready to move
on. Let's move on to another segment.
Okay.
You've graduated from high school.
Yes, and I went to Tech. I went to Tech for a while, but then I got married fairly young, and it was back in the Vietnam War.
Pat Callahan.
Yes, and so everybody was concerned about having to go to Vietnam.
No question.
And so we lived in Alexandria, Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C. Then for 18 months, we lived in Killeen, Texas. And then when he got out of the Army, we came back to Tech and lived in Tech housing. I worked at Fleet Guard. He worked at Sears. And that's where my Fleet Guard 30 years began.
Wow.
Then, yeah. And then after I loved Fleet Guard. It was one of the best places to work. Mm-hmm. In Cookeville. And there I worked my way up to become a senior buyer. Mm-hmm. And I've always said I like both ends of that of that transaction, buying and selling.
Sure.
And so that was just, you know, it was a great place to work. And all of us that worked 30 years, we raised our families together.
Friends,
we became
families,
close.
Kids,
and yes. And then when I retired from there, I did Mary Kay for a long time. I did that for a while. And then I wanted to go back into work somewhere. And this is the funniest story because I didn't have a resume. I just didn't know where to go to look for a job, so I went to Manpower, and they gave me all these tests and, you know, Word and Excel, and I didn't half know what I was doing. But when I finished, I said, well, did I pass? And they said, you did good enough. And then I interviewed with you.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when we talked, I was just at that point, whatever happened was okay, and I just told you that I had always felt that I was called to be a missionary, and at 10 years old, the Baptist Church, I walked down the aisle to let everyone know that I felt I had a calling on my life, and then you told me, George, that you had experienced the same thing.
You're Walton. The experiences are so common. Talk about your missionary. You've actually gone overseas. You have pursued that in a lot of ways.
You know, I tried always to be active in the church and teaching college students, Sunday school, working in the bus ministry, working with the kids, all those things. And I did go with Pete Helton. He's passed away now, Dr. Pete Helton from Tennessee Tech. We went on two missionary trips to Africa for 3 weeks each, and that was such an experience. We really had the African experience. The missionaries there had been there all their lives, and we went on safari, and then we ate in the huts.
Wow.
And we stayed in the bush, and I loved that. It felt so wonderful to finally do that, because growing up, I saw myself doing that.
Well, you were doing it in a different way. What did you learn from that experience? Looking back, what anything jumps out at you?
Well, one of the things is that when I come back home, I realize how rich we are.
How we are rich.
We just the comforts that we have.
And we're blessed.
Yes.
And it's but that is that you've had a rich and are having
rich
a
life.
Rich life.
Yeah.
And we're going to come back, and we're not gone yet, but when we come back from this the next segment, we're going to talk about let's go to the chamber and let's talk about what you've been doing. Let's talk about your children a little bit, where they are today, what's going on. I know you're a proud grandmama and beyond. So we'll jump into that. Anything else on Fleet Guard or anything about that era? Fleet Guard was a huge new. That was part of that time that Cookeville really went to another level.
Yes, I was proud to be there. I started at Fleet Guard 4 years in. They'd been in Cookeville 4 years.
Wow.
When I started, and I still
Four
have
years.
Those friends.
Okay, we're gonna take a short break, and we'll come right back and talk to Diane Callahan.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Okay, George Hofford with Diane Callahan. We're back. I personally learned a lot, Diane. Known you 20 years, and that's one of the great parts of this show is we meet people, we get to know people, and then we get to know friends even better. Let's pick up. You walked in the chamber and interviewed. You had finished a career.
Yeah.
And you started out. And this was the early days.
Yes.
This was just... I had just been here since
about a year.
And this is not about me, but Eldon Leslie had been here 37 years.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. And Elaine Duncan had been here 25 to 30 years. So it was basically a two-person office with a receptionist and some a part-time bookkeeper. So just reflections and talk about it and I'm going to let you talk for a while.
Oh, George, let me first, I thank you for your leadership at the chamber. And I felt like we clicked.
Oh, we did.
And we were a lot alike. And we had such a great journey ride there, I think, through the years you were there. And I got to be there also. But, yes, when I remember... I had come from manufacturing, a big plant, lots of people, 800.
Bottom line, you had profit and loss.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And pressure. There was a lot of pressure each day, the job that I was on, inventory control and scheduling and not letting the line shut down, buying quality material and all that. When I came in the chamber, it was so quiet.
It
was just two or three people sitting around, and not sitting around, they were working, but it was just so quiet. And I started out, I felt like I was starting over a little bit, because at Fleet Guard I started out as a secretary type. Mm-hmm. And then I started out as your assistant. George, knowing the two of us, how we made it, I do not know. I remember color coding all of the files because I'm not even organized.
No, well, that's me.
And I told you, I don't like details. I'm a big picture person.
That's it.
And you checked with some references, and you said, well, they say you can do details. I said, yeah, but I don't really want to.
You had to be.
But we made it, didn't we?
We survived and thrived.
We did. We did. And I remember telling you, I'd like to be in membership. I'd like to be in membership.
That was
I would tell you that because I love people. With the Mary Kay and the selling skills, like I said, and then even being a buyer for Fleet Guard and understanding how you negotiate.
Understanding small business. You were doing that with Mary Kay.
And small businesses and all that.
Which is 90% of our members.
Yeah. Yeah, so I love that. So I got that opportunity, and we did the annual banquets, and we did the membership drives, and I would appreciate going down to the University of Georgia and getting the certification and being with all these Southeast Chamber people, learning from them, learning and knowing people all over the Southeast that were in membership or they were running the chambers. And I loved the chamber.
I know you did.
I loved
it. Let me ask you, a lot of people who come in from – most people come in – you don't go to school or work or studied to go to into nonprofit or chamber of commerce. What are some of the thoughts? What were your misconceptions or conceptions? Anything about the chamber that was wow? I didn't know that.
I think I was learning every day. And when I actually was interviewed there, we always joked about getting so many calls every day that people thought the chamber had an answer for everything.
That's right.
The community called us about everything. So, after a few years, you're in it. Yeah. And you either, like you said, you love it or you don't. But I didn't know that much.
George Hofford with Diane Callahan trying to go a little deep on the chamber and what you learned and thought and didn't know and know. So let's go right back to that.
Okay. Eldon would visit Fleet Guard, and I knew that he was out there to talk about economic growth and that he helped get Fleet Guard there.
He did.
And so I knew he was our chamber guy, but oh, did I learn so much. And I'm glad I was at Fleet Guard. Thank the Lord for that employer. But the chamber suited me more, because I was more in the people business, which I love people. And then I wanted to always grow. And so, going down to Georgia.
Professional education.
Yeah, sure. Doing that. And then, you remember when we got accredited?
Yes.
We worked hard.
I forgot there's only a small percentage of chambers in the country.
There's about 8,000 chambers in the U.S. and only a few hundred that are accredited chambers.
That's right.
And one thing that was real special, the family went on a trip to Europe, and
I
actually made an appointment and visited the chamber in Dublin, and and might talk to my counterpart, and that was such a great. So that, when you were a chamber person, you were talking the same language wherever you went.
Right.
I remember going to Dallas,
right,
Texas, and for Mary Kay, and finding the chamber in Dallas.
That's right.
It was great.
So you've had a great career. And but no, let me share with you, and I've said this many times. It was Camelot. We over time developed a team here, and it really wasn't George. This was an ideal situation. We had very dedicated people. You being one of the ring, you're the Miss D, ringleader, you know. So, but you, happiest days most of my life. Now we're retired here, and so it's a joy to have served with you. And we're going to keep talking about this. Anything else about the chamber? We're going to transition into you and now and the future, but. Anything else that jumps out at you about our chamber?
Well, the people that we dealt with there, the bank presidents,
yes.
The presidents of companies, and then all their staff and their team, getting to know them, becoming friends with them, appreciating the small businesses, and learning how we could serve them and just bonding with them and working together and doing events together and being at their business to do an event. I mean, talk about broadening your scope about your community.
No question. No question. 6 months in the chamber, people know different segments of the community, but you get the broad view. And you learn things that you've lived here all your life and go,
yeah,
wow.
And how we're connected, you know, to our university, how we're connected to so many organizations and the difference that we can make. It was a blessing in my life.
Well,
yes, George.
You were and are a blessing, Diane. I just, I'm just, my mind is going back. Doc Waltham, were you in that position when Doc Waltham comes in?
Yes, he's the heart doctor.
Yes, he's renowned in the world.
Yes,
and was wanting to leave Vanderbilt to come up here.
Yes.
And now he's there. So that's a kind of making a difference in people's lives. George Hoffer with Diane Callahan. We could go all day, Diane,
but we
got one more segment.
Okay,
back soon. George Hoffert, again with Diane Callahan. It's Old Home Week, Diane. I'm enjoying and sharing with you and listening, I hope a little bit, to 20 years of just Camelot. Let's pick up there and talk about the chamber. We talked about, Doc Waltham.
Mm-hmm.
He's a world known electrocardiologist.
Yes.
And, the fact that he wanted to come to a community like ours, he'd been at Vanderbilt. So anything you want?
I remember meeting him, and I remember that. I remember talking to Joe Albright. He was mm-hmm. Joe Albright's doctor, and we did not have that type of heart doctor.
That's right.
We didn't. And so I've got a friend that has gone to him and has had the heart rhythm problem and had I think they call it an ablation and all that. So he was, sometimes you have a lot of doctors that do the same thing, but he was something we needed, his skill set and who he was. So that was great.
But you made a difference that day. That we're talking about making a difference in the community. Here's a guy that had, you know, could go anywhere in the world. He's part of the team, right? You know, our heart team.
Yeah, Tennessee
and,
Heart.
But you were the point of contact. So, and other people you've helped and other businesses. So, that was a good thing. That was a good day.
Yeah, and I'll just say that everything we're doing in life, I think if we keep the right motive in our heart and keep our eyes on God, keep our eyes and our focus actions on doing the right thing, trying to make a difference. God really has surprises in store, and everything is connected. So now being at Heart of the Cumberland, I'm able again, once again, to work with a lot of the same people as far as our business leaders in this community, our church pastors, bank presidents,
yes,
all kinds of organizations.
So this paved the way for your next great adventure.
It was. And this,
and Jill God, Horner, and what
yeah,
she's
yeah, doing. Yeah, Jill was the chairman of the board, and one day I was just talking to Jill about when I retired, I would like to do something in the ministry.
That's right.
And work part-time. And Jill said, you may just want to work at Heart of the Cumberland. Maybe you should start volunteering there. And I started volunteering, working with grief groups about a year before I left the chamber.
You know, I didn't really appreciate that you had actually been a volunteer
yes.
for some time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just preparing for that. So, but George, I want to just briefly say something before I continue on with where I am now.
Okay.
And that is, I did want to say that I have a son, Shay Callahan,
yes.
who is an attorney in town, a medical malpractice. I'm so proud of him, his wife, Amy. And they have a daughter, Millie, who is going to be a senior this next school
no,
year.
No.
She's very athletic. I know. And then Josie, you remember
yeah.
Josie. And she's in Athens, Georgia, graduating from University of Georgia. And she's going to be 26 this year.
That doesn't. Athens, Georgia is one cool little.
She does not want to leave it.
It's a college town. The music, sing,
she's
everything.
Into the music.
It's a wonderful,
yes.
wonderful community. But I didn't realize.
Yeah, Josie's 26 and this year, and Millie's 17 this year. And then I have Julie, and she's down at Gulf Shores.
Yes.
And if anybody needs real estate, Florida, Alabama, or Tennessee,
anywhere.
I'll give her a shout out. Julie Currier is her name. And she always wanted
blossom.
To live on the coast, and she's living her dream. So
well, Shay, when I remember Shay successful in medical,
worked at the hospital,
and went back to school. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah,
about,
yeah. He was like 36 and had worked at the hospital, graduated from tech and chemistry. And he took the LSAT, made real good on the LSAT, and was applying to these schools. And he got a scholarship to UT, but he never came to visit me at the chamber. And when he showed up, I thought a family member had died. But he had gotten accepted with a large scholarship to Vanderbilt.
Wow.
Which was a dream come true. And so he went there 3 years, graduated, did really well. And Shay, like me, he has a passion to help people. And that's how he
that's
looks
right.
at his job. But I just enjoy my family, George,
but
so
just think,
much.
36 years old, children, you know, breadwinner, and to have that vision and to have that passion and desire
he just
to
had
do
had,
what he did.
He and Amy had just had Millie, and Josie was like 10 years old.
Yes, yes.
And so Amy made – she's a good photographer. She helped them get through by working at weddings and
yes,
events.
No question.
Yeah.
Let's now, go back to present and future and work.
Yes. Well, God did save the best for last for me. Heart of the Cumberland, I'm development director. They did not have that position. And they were only five staff members now, but at that point there was only like three staff
what
members.
What is the Heart of the Cumberland?
Heart of the Cumberland
of
is
audience.
A grief ministry. It's divided into two segments. The community part is for all ages, and let me say it more than once, no cost to anybody. Anybody
wow.
can come to our grief sessions, go through our groups and our curriculum, and pay nothing. That's one thing I am so thankful and so proud of. But anyway, it's Christ-centered. The curricula was put together here with people, and it is sold all over different countries, different states. And then the other part of our ministry is Best Groups, Be Each Other's Support Team, and that's in starting in second grade all the way through. We will help 600 children this year.
600.
Now, as far as the community groups, the grief, it's peer support with a facilitator. We are not counselors. That's important. We're not licensed counselors. We are trained, and we go through 11 lessons a session. But in the schools, the losses are abandonment, incarceration of their parents, living in foster care, being raised by grandparents, deployment. And I'm right now working with a group of sixth graders in one of our schools. We do all of Putnam County. And they're dealing with all kinds of grief, and they're carrying heavy loads to try to learn and try to be educated. And so what we do, of course, separation of church and state, we respect. So we don't take Bible verses in there, but we love these kids. Yeah. And we take the lessons to deal with them being alone, feeling like they're different than everybody else, being angry, having guilt, thinking they're the reason for all their problems the families have. And we give them tools. In the little second grade, third grade, they have art journals, and they draw pictures, and we do demonstrations to show them how to deal with their heavy loads. And then when they're older kids, we have journals where they actually write out their feelings and answer the questions. And I work with a lead facilitator. George, this is what is so wonderful. Putnam County Schools hire lead facilitators and pay them out of their budget.
It's so special.
Pay them out of their budget. And then we train volunteers and then the staff, and we go help.
Wow.
And so the counselors refer the kids, the parents, the teachers, the ones that, you know, need the help. And that's, I'm development, I'm to get the word out, I'm to plan events, and I love
it. Just do it
but
all.
I love, love, love working with the kids. And then I've worked with mothers who've lost adult children, mothers who have lost babies. We've got a suicidal group, anybody that's dealt with suicide.
So you're much broader than I thought. I know it probably the core was kids losing their parents, a parent to grief. And I know Jill probably, and I forgot there was another lady, two or three of them founded this, as Jill has done so many things.
Well, it all started because Jim Martin, you know Jim Martin,
Jim.
His wife passed away.
That's right.
And it was Jill and Jim Martin's wife that her hospice keeper, at Kay's funeral, they were discussing how we had no place for people to go that were grieving.
Wow.
And one thing led to another. Then Paula King was in the school dealing with kids that their parents were on drugs. And
so
then
it just took off.
Yeah. And everything's been done.
So it's a God thing.
What?
It's a God thing.
We just celebrated 15 years. 15 years.
Man, that is wonderful. So, again, that's what the purpose of this show is. One of the purposes is there are so many great things happening in our region, things that people every day. And so this is just a major part that I learned a lot.
Well, can I give my phone number?
You could.
Harv the Cumberland, 525-2600. If you know someone that's grieving, or you know a child that needs help, please call us, and we will talk to you and see what group you might fit in, and because we want to serve more and more people, because grieving is universal. We all grieve at some point.
Well, you made my day today, and I just what a joy. What a joy. George Hallford with Diane Callahan, and thank you for listening. Thank you for coming.